Hey, everybody, Matt, Jess and Dave here.
Sorry, Jess, just butting in quickly to let the listeners know that I'm going to be in Sydney this week, coming up the 8th to the 12th of May, and you can get tickets now via mattshieldcomedy.com, then going straight to Brisbane on the 16th to the 19th. So tickets for my show Dryer Dryer in Sydney and Melbourne.
Sorry, Matt, I'll just cut you off there. I just need to tell everyone that our quiz show, our web series, is out right now. Do go on the quiz show. You can see it on Stupid Old Channel for free on YouTube. Type in "Do Go On The Quiz Show" and you can see three episodes right now covering topics like Google, Queen Victoria, the Olympics, and we got five more episodes coming up. So like and subscribe, whatever that means.
They are big topics too. And I said Sydney and Melbourne. I meant Sydney and Brisbane. Anyway, let's get on with the show.
I'm still here too.
Oh, hey, Jess.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Welcome to Do Go On, the show where we talk about something interesting, and I am going to attempt to do that. My name is Dave Warnke, and I'm here with Matt Stewart. Hello, Matt.
Hey, Dave. Yeah, the interesting thing, I guess that's a subjective term.
No, it's interesting in my term, thing. I think it's objective, because I always find it interesting.
Ah, all right. I'll take it all back. From the top.
From the top. Well, let's welcome Jess Perkins into the show. Hello, Jess.
Hello, boys.
Well, that's not from the top. That's kind of from just below the top, but that's okay. Hey, Jess.
Hi, mates. How are we?
I can't speak for Matt. Obviously, I've already tried to speak for everyone and tell him that this show's interesting.
And he's already told you off for that, so don't speak for him now.
But I am bloody good. Matt, yourself?
No, I'm bloody good too. You could have spoken for us all then.
Yeah, I'm pretty bloody good as well.
Oh,
all right, go team.
Okay.
That's one thing we've got in common.
Alrighty. Are we going to jump straight in?
Let's just jump straight into it this time. Let's just do it.
No bloody chit-chat. No time for that.
Hey, how have you been, Jess?
Really well.
No chit-chat. Here's a chit-chat question.
Just before you get into that, about talking about no chit-chat, what have you been up to lately? How's the family?
The family are all very well. Anne and John Perkins are doing well.
Anyway,
no chit-chat this week.
No chit-chat. Straight into the show. What happens is we each take it in turns to research a topic and then report back to the other guys about said topic. This week it is, Jess, your turn to regale us with a tale.
Oh, I didn't know you were going to regale us. That's cool.
I'm a little bit...
Matt, have you had red cordial or something this morning? You really are proactive.
I did have. I had a flat white. Sixth flat white.
You really not ever? Today?
No,
ever.
Not today. Ever? Yeah.
Do you remember a few weeks ago we went out for lunch after?
Was that your first ever flat white?
That was his first one a few weeks ago.
That was like 2 weeks ago, and you've had six flat whites.
Yeah,
you've gone from one to six.
Yeah,
I'm really happy for you.
Yeah, thank you.
I've still never had a flat white. Yeah. Anyway, no chit chat this week. Straight into it.
I was going to say I'm a little bit nervous about this one because you'll either get on board, or it's going to be a long podcast.
So this one is genuine.
genuinely
think that's kind of the rule of podcasts.
I think it's still interesting, but it might be like more interesting to me for nostalgia reasons, and you'll understand why. And also,
Ship to Shore?
I've learnt my lesson from the Beatles episode where I went too broad, and now I've made it very specific. Like, I've timed it to one single day, one single evening.
The credits to Ship to Shore.
I can guess this one because it's nostalgic, mm-hmm. and it's very personal to you, and it's one day.
I wouldn't say
Was it your 13th birthday party?
Yes, it is. Yeah. We went to Smorgies. It was great. Point. No, we're not doing my 13th birthday. We always start with a question.
Okay. Ready to answer.
I've got two questions.
Unconventional, but we'll allow.
No. I'll go with the more obvious one, and then if we need to, I'll narrow it down. What do you think is the biggest sporting event in Australian history?
In history or like annually?
The 1991 AFL Grand Final where Angry Anderson played Bound for Glory in the back of the Batmobile.
That is exactly what I'm talking about. No, that's not what I'm talking about.
But it's a nighttime. You said it was a nighttime
thing. It's a nighttime thing.
Kathy Freeman running in the Sydney Olympics.
You're super close.
Just the Sydney Olympics?
Again, no, very close. Night. It's one night.
The opening ceremony.
The opening ceremony.
An unforgettable night in my chapter as well because I had gastro and I watched the whole event vomiting into a bucket every 5 minutes.
Because I got chicken pox for the Olympics and my dad took my brother up to Sydney to go to the Olympics and mum and I had to stay home because I had chicken pox. I missed the Olympics.
You were going to go to the games.
We were going to go. He took my brother and my brother's friend and they were in the Brazilian cheer squad for some volleyball and they were at all these events and I missed it all. Isn't that brutal? This is a moment of my childhood.
I think I was at a party that night or something. Teen backyard party.
So not a party for that event.
No, I didn't see it. But I do. I remember hearing about it. And
have you seen any clips of it since?
Yeah, I think I've seen Nikki Webster on a rope or something. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. And I like Nikki Webster had a hit song called Strawberry Kisses.
She did.
Which is also my name for my nipples.
Well, we've just found your coffee order. What are you talking? Is that a genuine... He's lifting up his shirt for those at home. He's showing us his nipples. Wow, I can confirm. Not one, but two... Strawberry kisses.
I'm dying. Oh, just how seriously you said that. Strawberry, you're an idiot.
We will be tweeting a photo of these nipples after the show. Hopefully Matt is on board for that.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
You can see the kisses for yourself. Maybe we should tweet a picture of them to Nikki Webster. Check out these strawberry kisses.
She'd probably write back.
She probably would. She's quite sad.
She's not getting it.
No, but...
Isn't she... Is she on Dancing with the Stars or something at the moment? Or is that Tessa Irwin? Terry Irwin.
Bindi Irwin is on Dancing with the Stars in America. I get those two confused.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Wow.
And Nikki was years and years ago.
Right, okay.
Like a long time ago.
I've merged them into one person.
Yeah, and look...
one super being.
Yeah. Fair enough. So, we all remember then where we were.
Where we were, the
on
night.
On the 15th of September 2000.
Is that the date? Mm-hmm. Wow, mm-hmm. The 15th. So...
And Kathy Freeman... you're going to go into this, mm-hmm. but I think she had a role in lighting the flame or carrying the flame or something.
She did.
Because that's so funny. They're like, big secret. Oh, who's going to be the one who lights the big cauldron? Yeah. Oh, who's it going to be? People like, actually, they talk about it like people care. I don't think anyone does, but the commentators will be like, talking up like,
it was a secret. Oh my God. It was a secret that like...
Is it going to be Pat Rafter? Is it going to be Shane Crawford? It could be anyone. Is it going to be Yvonne Goolagong Crawley?
Crawley. It could be Crawley, but it could be Dawn Fraser. It
could be anyone.
Oh my God.
I know.
It could be Patrick McCubbin, risen from the dead, the Australian bush artist.
Surely it's not going to be Frederick McCubbin. Surely it's not going to be famous triptych painter. Surely it's not going to be... A current athlete like Kathy Freeman or Andrew Gaze.
No,
was Andrew Gaze a current athlete?
He was he carried the flag.
Well, there you go.
Big moment for 10-year-old me who...
You're a basketball player?
Basketball player, big Andrew Gaze fan. So Gazy.
He's a top guy.
Great bloke.
He seems like a good dude.
Top bloke.
He used to do the footy tips on the Channel 10 News. Always very hilarious. He'd follow it up by... throwing a basketball over his head or something. So good.
Very good.
Really,
I know what I'm talking about. Then you just shot a hoop.
Yeah.
I was watching clips from the Olympics as research, and I got like onto an Andrew Gaze one because I love Andrew Gaze, and they were interviewing him before they went into the stadium, and like they knew he was going to be carrying the flag, and they're like, oh, have you prepared? He's like, mate, they haven't told me anything. They just gave me this lanyard, told me to put it around my Gregory Peck, and I was like, Gregory Peck.
Agger's rhyming slang.
So good.
I was talking about rhyming slang the other day. I was hanging out with my uncle, and he's a rhyming slang fiend.
Yeah.
But every now and then, after a few drinks, he'll forget how it works. Like the other day, he's like, he's had a bunch of drinks. He wanted to ask me to pass him a bottle of water, and he wanted to say, pass me a Tucker's Daughter, which was an Ian Moss classic song. Good rhyming slang. He said, hey, Matt, can you pass me a Tucker's Water?
Doesn't work.
You've got to...
You've literally said the word, yeah. The actual word you want to say.
Yeah, so that's no right. Good.
What a Tucker's Daughter.
Yeah.
It sounds offensive.
It does.
Yeah, if you were not sure which bit was the rhyming bit.
Yeah, your bloody Tucker's Daughter. You'd be like, whoa.
Oh, boy.
Ooh. Other good ones he uses are, feel like having a Chris Mew, which is an obscure AFL player, I think.
Is that for Spew?
For Spew, mm-hmm. Yep. Then there's the classics. Everyone knows, like...
Hit the Frog and Toad?
Hit the Frog and Toad. He says, hit the Frog and Road. Oh. No, he doesn't.
I was going to say, that's...
My dad says Frog and Toad.
What's the...
Get you on the old dog and phone.
Pardon? What does dog rhyme with?
Fog.
Oh, right. Get you on the fog. Pardon me. Jeez, I feel like an idiot.
Mm, boy.
The cheese and misses. No, cheese and kisses.
Is that misses?
That's misses, yeah. Got asked that, you know, that's a Bogan thing where they have to, there's this Bogan thing, and I found it, like any guy who wants to delay making a decision about something, they'll say either, well, better pass it through the cheese and kisses, or the Minister for Finance.
Oh.
Every time I just want to tell them to fuck off.
Yeah.
It's like, don't blame them. And don't make them sound like you're making them sound like they're the bad guy. Yeah,
totally. Well, do you know, that kind of reminds me, though, because when I was in like high school, especially, if I didn't want to go to a party or didn't want to go out with certain people, my mum would be like, just say I told you couldn't go.
Good.
She would want to take the blame.
Mum would be like, I'll take the blame. Blame me. I'm the bad guy. What a legend.
They teach you that in some jobs as well. Like if it's just like, just pass it on to someone else. Mm. If a customer's angry at you, you say, oh, look, I'd love to help you out, but the boss is just really strict on this.
Exactly.
Which is smart, because it just means, like, yeah, well, look, I'm not angry at you, but this boss that I don't know.
Yeah. What a jerk.
Anyway, what were we talking about?
Olympics.
The Sydney Olympics for the year 2000.
Opening ceremony.
And the winner is...
Too specific?
No, it's great.
Because there's a lot in there, and...
It's a big event.
And it kind of holds up. Like, if you watch the clips now, you can... it's all... Any of the Olympics opening ceremony.
I know they say this every year, but at the time they say that was the best one ever.
They still say it of Sydney. I was going to say that. They still say it's the best one.
Really? Still. That's interesting.
Internationally or just because I feel like Australia's...
No, not even just an Australian thing. Like, the head of the Olympics...
No, I was going to say Sepp Blatter, but he's the soccer
FIFA.
Guy. Who's the... What was his name? But he said, because Atlanta was the Olympics before, and I think traditionally at the end they would say, this is the best Olympics ever, and at Atlanta he said, this was a pretty good Olympics.
Ooh, brutal. But no, still to this day, it's still credited as being one of the best. And there's a few...
Sorry, Jess, you've just gone from the best to one of the...
Oh, no, sorry, the best. Sorry,
bit of a slip there, but that's okay.
No. Thank you, no, good pick.
It was an Olympics. Thank you for coming to... An Olympic Games. Good night.
But that's the thing. Like, it was a good Olympics, but the ceremony has still been said it's one of the best. The best. Jesus. I think it's just a habit. It actually held a few records. Like, it was...
For being the best, which is quantifiable.
The best.
No, what records?
So, it was the first Olympic cauldron lit into water. That's very specific. No, there are better ones.
Has that happened since?
Yes.
We were the first country to light water on fire.
Yeah.
God, I love our style. First. Was it our Olympics that there was a big weird pause, though, that they had to wait 15 minutes or something?
4 minutes.
Well, it felt like a long time.
I I'm sure it did for Kathy Freeman standing there.
Standing there.
What? You had to wait.
It started
4 minutes
to rise, and then there was like a computer error. There was a glitch.
Oh wow, that's and it's and still called it one of the best.
That's why it's one of the. If that had nailed best. It, it would have been the best, Matt. But that
4 minutes. That's a horrible mistake at a key moment.
But it's okay.
So they just.
No, I got through it.
I don't forgive and forget like you, Jess.
Okay. Well, that was obviously.
I mean, I never saw it, so I didn't know what happened until now. But I'm furious.
My 17-year-old Matt's pretty pissed right now.
Heads will roll.
Okay, that was the wrong record to start with there, because I've got you angry already.
The longest wait for a computer glitch in Olympic ceremony opening history. 240 long seconds.
It was
Usain Bolt could do the 100-meter sprint 24 to maybe 25 times in that amount of time. 25 world records could be broken. It threw off the entire international community. That's why the USA blame that Olympics for not going as well as Atlanta. Mm. That 4 minutes really threw off.
That's why it's one of the best and not the best.
Exactly.
Can I go on with some other...
Please do go on.
...some other records that they got. Okay, maybe not... There are records, but just like there was a few firsts, like it was quite revolutionary in terms of the opening ceremony. So they were the first ones to use...
Revolution!
I'm kicking goals today.
Matt, let's take this seriously.
Sorry.
You fucks. first use of suspended performers. They had like people flying through the air. First use of suspended puppetry, fire breathers. It was the largest stadium to host the opening ceremony with 110,000 people.
It's a lot of people.
It's a lot of people. The previous was Los Angeles in 1932. With 105,000.
Wow.
So that's quite a big gap. Mm. Largest crowd as well, which was 114,000. Not really sure how that works, considering it only holds 110.
So it was just really dangerous.
Maybe the people, there would have been
a few
thousand
on the
field,
right? Oh,
sorry,
that was closing ceremony, but it's probably the same place.
Yeah. I think it's the same most biggest fire hazard in Olympic history, considering that the water was even on fire.
I think that stadium's now had its capacity reduced, because I'm pretty sure it's only 80,000. Can fit there now. I wonder what happened there.
We'll just put in a few like trestle tables.
Yeah, maybe that was it.
Fold out chairs. Standing.
Yeah, that's
remotely.
Right.
You know how it is. Okay, so the opening ceremony, right? It had a cast. How many people? How many performers do you think there were?
Well, there must have been 4,000, because if the capacity is 110 and there are 114,000,
but there's probably
there.
Also athletes in the parade.
Yeah. Maybe this is just the performers.
All right,
they're
I'm
not included.
Say 2,500.
I'm gonna say a couple thousand. Too.
Couple of thousand performers across the entire.
That's a ridiculous amount.
That's a lot, isn't it? Maybe 1,000.
400. 1,600.
1,600.
And 1,000.
12,687.
That is a lot of people.
I don't understand.
That's how many people took part in the ceremony.
Was that a record? That seems like it could be a record.
That's a lot of people.
12,000.
Now, I'm assuming that also sort of includes... It says took part in the ceremony. I'm going to assume that includes officials and stuff like that.
Can I revise my guess?
Think about musicians,
I'm thinking
dancers.
It's going to be... 6,000.
He said red cordial. No, Matt, it was 12,000.
What's that?
Double.
That is ridiculous. All right, let me have one last go.
Okay.
9,000.
Close,
your closest guess yet.
Your closest guess. 12,000.
Holy moly.
That's a lot of people.
It just seems like a lot. And are all these people training full time to get this happening?
I don't know, but I remember them being volunteers. Like you did it for the prestige of prestige for being in the ceremony.
Well, let's be honest, we were giving them something to do.
Yeah,
the volunteers in this thing.
But my worry would be,
I think you're not them.
If you're volunteering for that, you're probably not like the world's greatest dancers, or you're not the world's best cello player. If you're like, I can play cello.
Okay, well the musicians, I'm pretty sure were. Orchestras. They were pretty good.
Yeah, I don't think they were volunteer
but
orchestras.
But just your people in like fish costumes, probably not that great.
The athletes were all volunteers. They're all doing it from their own accord. Can't believe it.
In a way, they kind of are.
Mm. Unbelievable.
In another way, they're doing it for money.
Yeah, and glory.
But wait, the Olympics is unpaid, is it? Or is it paid?
They don't get paid.
No, but I think you get paid your country...
It funds you
to train full time.
Yeah.
But the Olympics doesn't give you. It's
Which
not like
we have the.
You don't win gold, so you don't get a $100,000 check.
Isn't it amazing that the Australian government spends millions on paying athletes to be in the Olympics? Like, what a weird way to spend money.
It is a bit weird, but then I was thinking about the Olympics and it's kind of, it's one of very few, I can't really think of anything else like it that brings pretty much the entire world together. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's not a lot of things that we just all do together.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of really nice.
Like, is it nearly every country?
Well, yeah, I think so.
I mean, every year it changes. But Australia is one of two countries that's been to every single Olympic Games.
Really?
But interesting fact is that on two of those occasions, they came as in a team merged with New Zealand.
Really? The opening occasion is this?
The second and third, I think.
Wow. We were blended together.
For a couple of... So there's only one country that's been there every time on their own, I think, and that's someone I can't remember right now. And that's a fact.
I would guess Greece.
I was going to say Greece.
It wasn't... I don't think it was Greece, but I think they might... Anyway.
Wow. That's pretty cool. That's a good little tidbit.
Yeah, that's a tidbit. It's probably a little less than a tidbit because it was missing some of the key facts.
That's right. It was a tid. We've guessed.
So I've broken it into the segments of the ceremony itself. So there was like different themes for each part, and we're gonna go through them. They're very visual, so I'm glad that we're talking about them on a podcast.
That's great.
A good call on my part.
Just imagine 12,000 people in fish costumes, apparently.
That's coming up later.
Pardon
but
me.
First, the way that we opened the ceremony was with one lone rider, a guy on a stock horse, and the horse just like fangs it into the middle. I think that's a technical term.
Yeah.
Horses fang it, right?
Oh. Yeah, yeah. Lone
The horse's rider. Name was Ammo.
He's a lone rider. Bum, 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 bum. Lone. I think we could loop it, but.
Just keep going. Just sing that underneath the whole time. Okay, so there was a Aussie stock horse. The horse's name was Ammo.
I wonder if Ammo's still around.
I think Ammo might be ridden by. Ammo would be quite old by now.
Stock horse. That's a, like stock. Just sort of means your basic thing, right?
Well, stock this particular horse was a performer horse. Like this horse knew what he was doing. You know, he's a showbiz horse.
Sort of picture him like.
No,
dancing along.
He just ran out as like a normal horse.
Yes, an Academy Award nominated horse.
Well, he was ridden by Steve Jeffries. Now, Steve Jeffries and his horse Ammo, they recreated their Olympics entrance during the 2002 Australian stage production of The Man from Snowy River. Jeffries and Ammo had quite a career together.
That's illustrious.
Yeah, and he was this is Steve Jeffries. He's an expert horse whisperer.
Did you get that from his website? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Steve Jeffries.
Basically, he's like
.com.
Trains horses. That's horse all whisperer. Horse whisperer.
But does he claim to be a horse whisperer?
But horse.
Hey, Ammo.
But that's
hey,
the thing.
Ammo. Yeah. Hey, all right, we're just going to fang it out on the stadium, okay?
What now?
Yeah, wait, just 1 second. Just give us. We've got to wait 4 minutes. There's been a glitch.
I'm really hungry.
Just hold tight. We'll get you some feed later, but yeah.
You promise it's only four?
Oh, well, I don't know at this stage, but I imagine it wouldn't be any longer than
Do you know
minutes.
How many 100 metre sprints Usain Bolt could have completed this time?
Oh, 25 or more, I reckon.
Yeah. But I'm faster than him.
You are faster than him.
I'm the world's fastest horse.
You're a good boy.
Thank you.
And scene.
That's definitely quote-unquote. Is that also from the website?
Yeah,
we read the script.
It's a little bit disappointed because I did click on what like horse whisperer means, and really it's just a method of training.
Well, that
it's not as wanky as it sounds.
An interesting thing there was, I was playing Gary Newman. Oh no, who was I playing?
Steve Jeffries.
Gary Newman's who I always assume everyone is. I was playing Steve Jeffries, a horse whisperer. But funnily enough, Dave was playing Ammo, also a horse whisperer.
That's right.
Or a whispering horse.
Yeah, that's a cool band name. Steve Jeffries and the Whispering Horses.
That's not bad. I like that.
That's not bad. Right, okay, so this is going really well.
Okay, no, it's good. No, so they fanged it to the middle.
So he rides out into the middle of the stadium. Just one man on his horse.
And is everyone else in the crowd like, I was promised 12,000 performers. I've paid $400 for this ticket.
But at this stage, they're kind of like, what's going on here? What's going on here, right? And then the horse rears up and then Steve cracks his whip, and 120 other riders appear. They're all holding flags, and they come riding out, and they're riding in these beautiful formations. And there was music by Bruce Rowland. It was a Special Olympics version of the theme from The Man from Snowy River. I can't hear the difference, but then, it's an Olympics version.
You know, the horse whisperer's like, turn it down, I can't talk to my horse, he can't hear me. Hello, turn it down, for God's sake.
I can't bloody yell over the
Steve,
music, I'm not a horse yeller.
Steve, where are you? Steve.
He says such crack in the whip. Nah, that's not helping.
Steve, where are you? I forgot if you're on my back or not.
So that's an especial.
Yeah, most of the whispering is still on your back.
I'm right still here. On your back. I'm right here, mate.
It really helps now that you can get like those Bluetooth earpieces. So he just puts straight that in the horse's ear.
He's like, "G'day, Ammo. Just riding on your back here, mate. Just to let you know I'm still here."
But even if Ammo's in the stable and he's still in the kitchen, he's like, "Ammo, look, I'm just having, just finishing my cup of tea. I'll be
give us another 4 minutes.
Yeah, be there in five. Thanks, mate. Good on you." Right, so then they...
So suddenly, there's a lot of horses out there.
There's 120 horses.
The Olympic version of the Man from Snowy River is playing.
They're all holding flags. Like, they've got white flags with the Olympic rings on it. And then they form the Olympic rings, moving.
Oh, that's pretty cool. And they're moving.
Yeah.
That's cool. Matt, you're impressed.
That's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my word.
Do you know how many whispers you have to say to get that to happen?
And we're going around in a circle.
Watch that other one. Watch that other horse.
I thought I was the red ring.
And then
you're the yellow ring.
And then a giant banner drops, painted by Sydney artist Ken Dunn.
Ken Doan.
I was going to say, I knew I was going to fuck that up. And it said, and the sign just said, "G'day." Hey, welcoming the whole world.
Well, he's...
Gazy G'day.
Ken Doan is very very famous in the artistic community for not having much respect for his work. It's very, very... popular among the public, but the artistic community has never respected Ken Doan's work.
Great.
Is that partially because he'll sell it, like he sells it to onto tea towels and everything. He just like gets it out of there everywhere. Tism, you know how I like to bring Tism up?
You'll get Tism and Nazis into every episode.
So Tism, a Melbourne band from the 80s and 90s and today, well, they're not from today, they broke up about 10 years ago, but they had an EP cover that was a Ken Doan style koala injecting a syringe into its eyeball or mouth. Anyway, there was a syringe and Ken Doan sued successfully, and they had to, like one day after they put it out in the stores, they had to recall them.
Ooh.
Yeah, and then they changed the name to recalled due to legal advice or something like that to the... But then I think that Ben had just the tiny corner when Ken Doan style writing Tism, and he said no good. So then they had to release a third.
They
cover.
Recalled a second.
I don't know. Maybe they weren't approved for that second one. And then the third one they had was Sinead O'Connor ripping up a piece of paper that said Tism on it.
Cool.
And that one was okay. Fine. Sinead was cool with that.
She was not offended.
No.
Wow.
Which was taken, I realized recently, from her hosting spot on or performance spot on Saturday Night Live in the 90s. Anyway, sorry about that.
That's okay.
We're not talking about the 90s. We're talking about the year 2000. Ken Doan. G'day.
So futuristic.
121 horses.
That still sounds like the future. The year 2000.
It does, doesn't it? It was 15 years ago.
So it says g'day.
Yep, so we're in it now. We're doing it, you know?
Like, is the crowd erupted now?
The crowd's going absolute batshit. I think is the technical term. They're losing their goddamn minds. So then we move on to the second segment called Deep Sea Dreaming.
And who has directed all of this?
Various people are responsible for each segment. There's like a... I did have a list, but I didn't think that would matter.
There's not one artistic director.
No, there's... Well, I'm sure there's probably like a body. Yeah, there's probably one, but they each sort of... new segment had a team of people. It was like concept by this person and choreography by this person. It was like a huge effort. It's pretty massive, and they must work on it for a very long time.
Were there a lot of like the few things of these that I've seen over the years, different opening ceremonies, it's always commentators having to explain. They're like, and the horses represent freedom in Australia? Yeah, there's a lot of that.
There's so much of that.
I'm wondering, if you're in the crowd, it's obviously impressive, but you're not hearing that commentary.
Or getting that bird's eye view of it, which you kind of need for a lot of the things.
Oh, yeah, you probably can't see a lot of it.
A lot of it, yeah. If they zoom out and you zoom out, all together they all make the Olympic rings or the map of Australia. But if you're there, you're just like, oh, this horse is going round and round.
But the Commonwealth Games were in Melbourne in 2006, I believe. Yep. And because I'd been sick and missed out on going to the Olympics when I was 10, my dad took me to the opening ceremony of the Commonwealth Games when they were in Melbourne, like kind of to make up for it. I got to go to a lot of events in the Commonwealth Games, but especially the opening ceremony. And it's not the same as the Olympics, but the atmosphere is just ridiculous. And I think you get the best of both worlds. Like watching it on TV, you can see it's well filmed, but then being there and seeing everybody in the audience having those little flashing lights and stuff looks amazing.
I mean, a sweet buzz.
Sweet buzz. Sweet buzz for 16-year-old Jess. Yeah, 10-year-old Jess, pretty pissed.
Yeah.
Pretty pissed. Anyway.
So stage two.
What I really like about this opening ceremony, it's probably the same as all of them as well, though. I feel like they've just sat down at a table with butcher's paper and coloured textures and said, all right, what's Australian? And they've just gone through and they've covered everything. Everything that's stereotypically Australian,
Drawing it live, or they've brought it out pre-drawn?
No, I feel this is how they planned it.
Oh, I planned it, right. Yeah.
Steve Irwin was still alive at the time. Did they get him involved?
He was not involved.
Any crocodiles at all? Live crocodiles?
No live crocodiles, no.
All right, well, we're
just the live
crocodiles.
Horses.
The croc whisperer.
All right, we're going to just fang it out.
Just fang into the middle.
On the count of three.
No, not bite, fang. Oh, no, it's... Oh, look, I can see how you got confused. Oh, no, the horses.
And then
Nikki Webster
sings the horses.
On my count, we're going to take a Michael Chang, fang, into the corner. That's my rhyming slang. Take a Michael.
It's very good. A Michael Chang is to fang it. Anyway, okay, Deep Sea Dreaming. Now, if you don't have the commentator while you're watching this, you don't know that this segment celebrates Australia's affinity with the sea.
Oh, yeah.
Which we are girt
ocean.
By.
Ocean. We are girt by sea. So they turned the whole stadium floor into a beach. Like they projected sand onto the...
That's cool.
Which is pretty cool, onto the stadium. And that's where little Nikki Webster comes skipping out.
Oh, this is her debut.
This is her. This is where Nikki shines. So she's wearing that pink little sundress and
How old is she at this time?
She was 13.
Okay.
I was very jealous of her at the time. So she's this tiny little person and she just comes out into the middle. Again, there's nobody else on the stadium. She's just there by herself.
Oh, so it's just projections and her.
Projections of
sandy
sand,
stuff. And then
she
walks
out. And
fangs it out.
She fangs it out.
All right, Nikki.
There's a guy riding on her back.
A Nikki whisperer. So she goes out and she's pretending, she's acting like she's sunbaking, right? And then she falls asleep and she goes into this little...
Oh, no. She's going to get burnt.
Then she gets really badly sunburnt.
She's a redhead too, isn't she? She's got a very, very...
Yeah, she was strawberry blonde. Strawberry blonde.
Burnt in seconds.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Anyway, so she's...
Luckily it's nighttime.
So now this is dream sequence.
She's dreaming. And so there's all these performers coming out as sea creatures. So that was a tribute to the Great Barrier Reef. Which, they're like, well, it's Australian. Great Barrier Reef, let's do it. Put
Love
in some
it.
Fish.
It sounds like an American has produced the opening ceremony so far. Yeah, what do I right. think of Australians?
Horseback.
Horses.
Yeah. The phrase g'day.
But at least those are things that other countries would recognise. There's some references later where it's kind of like, nobody knows what you're doing, guys.
Hills hoist?
It's funny for us. Not far off. In fact, I think there were hills hoists. I think there were. So it's pretty great. And so then Nikki Webster gets hoisted up into the air. She goes...
Hills hoisted. Into the air. A little known fact that it's the only Olympic ceremony to feature a giant hills hoist. Just a record.
Somebody runs out, attaches some cords to a child.
No, they just peg it on.
She gets pegged. She gets flung up into the air. She fangs it up into the air.
Life-size good fortune. She's the bag. Playing the part of the bag.
If you're not Australian, hills hoist is like our outdoor clothesline.
Yeah.
Just so you know, because otherwise...
Hills hoist.
Hills hoist.
This joke won't get old.
That's so good.
Only for the listeners.
For us, very funny.
I cannot wait for the gaze whisperer, Andrew Gaze. Now, just start waving the flag.
Just hold the flag. Hold this bit. Okay, good job.
Put it around your carry bag.
No, Gazy was whispering to the flag.
Yeah. All right, what I'm going to do.
Just going to do a big 360.
I'm going to flap you from one side to the other. There we go. And again, and again.
Oh, no, you're tangled. You're tangled. All right. So Nikki, she's suddenly in the air.
She's suddenly in the air. She's doing flips. There's enormous jellyfish and like a giant fish and all these amazing creatures.
She having a good time or she's scared?
Oh, she's having a great time. Oh, she's good. Swimming through. She's like.
Was there any of these sort of hands?
No. Thank you for doing a visual gag.
Well, thanks for calling it a gag.
She was like, she's swimming and she's doing flips and it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Very jealous, right? So then she's joined by all these other...
You're still jealous.
I'm still jealous of Nikki Webster, but I probably shouldn't be. She's had a weird life.
But she was... what? She's cast out of obscurity into this role.
Kind of. She'd been performing since she was like 5. I did a bit of research on Nikki Webster, and she'd been in like a few stage productions and stuff like that.
Oh, okay.
And then she auditioned for the role and got it, and then just went nuts from there.
I remember everyone was talking about, who's this little girl?
Yeah,
who
well, she
is
wasn't
she?
Like, you know, on Neighbours. She wasn't that well known, but it wasn't just her first time. First radio. God.
Her first whisperer.
It wasn't her first whisperer.
Okay, cool.
So then she's swimming along, and then there's like a dozen other swimmers in bright green wetsuits, and they're fake swimming through the air. Just in case you thought they were actually swimming. And they had a big projection of the Australian swimming coach, Laurie Lawrence, like yelling, like, Gabe, guys.
But
like,
so they haven't let him... He's not in the air. He's
not,
projected.
He's projected.
They wouldn't trust him on a wire.
No. Well, he's the coach, you know? He's not going to be just in the pool. You can't coach from within the pool, can
you? Do you
he?
Think anyone would know unless the commentator said, oh, that's Laurie, blah, blah, the coach.
Again, the Australians would have. And I was like, who is it in the audience? Australians, mostly.
Yeah, Laurie was big time back then.
Yeah.
Was he big time?
He was a household name.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
So they had that. So then the next segment was called Awakening, and this was
Is that Nikki Dunn? She done now?
No.
Okay, pardon me. Yep.
Nikki comes back. That sounds so creepy. The Awakening was to acknowledge the Australia's Aboriginal past, and so like an Aboriginal elder guides Nikki Webster through like the stage. And okay, if you're gonna get anybody to narrate this part of the show, Aboriginal,
is it? Look, there's probably a few good options, but I'm guessing Ernie Dingo.
Ernie Dingo.
I was going to guess John Howard. Yeah. No, Ernie Dingo.
Ernie Dingo. So they're just like, who can I? We've got this bit about Indigenous Australians. Who
he's
do you reckon
he's got a great voice.
Great voice.
It's a great voice.
And I saw Crocodile Dundee 2 a few weeks ago.
It was on TV.
He was in it, and he was a super babe.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I didn't realize he was like a sexy man.
He's
now
got a
I think of him
smile.
As like an oldish guy, but he was.
But 35
holy
years ago,
moly.
He was.
Yeah.
Is that how old that movie is? No.
Nah, it would be maybe 25 years old, I think.
Oh, it's got to be mid 80s.
The first one.
Mid to late 80s. The second. I'm talking about the second one.
Second one was. Oh, God. Okay. Well, that's. So who else?
I think it's late 80s. I don't know. But anyway.
Well, yeah.
Either way, I think we're.
Either way, the dingo is a babe.
Bit of a bloody babe.
The dingo is a babe. The dingo ate my. Nah, I couldn't quite. Dingo's got me. Dingo's got me. He's a baby. No. All right. Let's move on.
That was an example of how not to do rhyming slang. Thank you, Matt.
Good. Good. So now we move on to nature.
So this is stage four now?
This is stage four.
Okay.
Nature. Kind of blends in nicely because the awakening was just kind of, there's not a lot happened. It was a short segment, just a bit of a dance segment. Then nature, where they talked about like the outback. And so it had all these fire performers, like fire jugglers and fire breathers. Not
Does
breathers,
that happen but, in the outback?
Well, because what they would do is representing a bushfire.
Oh.
So there was literally hundreds of them
through
walking
carnies.
Across.
Through
carnies. Yeah, through carnival folk.
Yeah, carnival folk. So there's all these. So they were symbolising like a bushfire taking over, and then all these people dressed as Australian distinctive wildflowers came out, and it was kind of like burning and then new life.
Oh, very good.
You know, so they had the golden wattle, which is our national flower. I'm sure you know.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm aware of that. And the pink heath is Victoria's floral emblem.
I don't think it was.
That's a great fact there. Thank
you.
Yeah,
good one. The Waratah, which is a state flower of New South Wales, they used that one a bit. The Sturt's desert pea, water lilies, and eucalyptus flowers.
Mm.
All very Australian.
Classics.
Beautiful. So, like, they've covered. Okay, so far they've covered like indigenous nature, fish. What's next?
What I hate to think. What.
What's next? This segment is called Tin Symphony.
Mm-hmm. Timphony.
Tin Symphony. And that is about European settlement.
Oh, right.
And panning for gold.
Panning for gold. It's a bit of everything.
I thought it was just going to be like a bush band, like someone's with the lager phone, which is the bottle caps and the thing.
So it starts with the arrival of James Cook with bicycles to represent his ship, the Endeavour. I'm like, well...
Hang on.
You probably could have made a ship, but okay.
Bicycles?
Yeah, they had like these weird bike things.
I felt like someone wanted to use those, so they put them in.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not surprised at all.
Okay, so that's Cook.
So they've got like all this Irish jig music and all these performers are dressed as Ned Kelly. Again, it's like, Australia, Ned Kelly.
Yep.
But not just Ned Kelly.
Yeah, that's quite a
They're dressed as Sidney Nolan's Ned Kelly.
Right.
Oh, get an art reference in there as well.
And they're all holding guns that have, like, fireworks coming out of them.
It's quite a time jump from Cook to straight to Ned Kelly.
Straight into Ned Kelly. We don't have time for...
No settlement.
No. None of that.
Is it a huge jump? It's like, when was Ned's time? That's 80. It's maybe a 100-year jump.
Yeah, it's like 100
years.
Oh,
not quite 100 years. When was Ned around? Early 18s?
Mid.
Mid. And when this and it was first fleet was 1788. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
That is a bit of a jump.
It is, but they just don't have time. You know, it's
good point.
It's a long show, but you've got a lot to pack in.
Look,
you know?
To be fair, they've just given the Aboriginal people like a 2-minute segment.
It's and not a bit.
It was 40,000 years. So, pardon me, please. Please forgive me.
Yeah,
that involved Nikki Webster for some reason.
Being guided for some reason.
They didn't get the prop budget. They just kind of danced.
That is incredible. But 40,000 years. I didn't like that. Very interesting.
They should, if they'd done it to time scale, the Captain Cook bit to now would have been about approximately 4 seconds.
Yeah.
Anyway.
This was like I think this would have been a really confusing part of it for anybody who wasn't Australian, even people who are Australian. Like, there was all these symbolic items of the outback, like corrugated iron and stormwater tanks. And
stormwater tanks?
And some of them had, like, umbrellas that looked like cogs. So as they, like, turned the umbrellas, it looked like... So it's not particularly...
What is that to symbolise our love of shade?
Industrial growth.
Yeah, cogs were an invention of the an Australian, I think.
In the outback?
Yeah. No, actually, Cogs was the nickname of the drummer from Powderfinger. I knew there was an Australian connection.
And that's what they were getting at.
Yeah.
They're like, Powderfinger. Anyway.
Two very separate facts there, that, mate.
Yeah, the Cogs thing's definitely not true.
Okay, so we've got a million Ned Kellys celebrating that.
Just shooting
murderer.
Their firework guns. And then they somehow construct a shed in the middle of the stadium out of corrugated iron sheets. And,
is it big?
I know what's
it's
coming now. A Victor lawnmower.
Yes. Yes, because what happened was, like, they had all these people chucking out these boxes that were supposed to be like sheep, but then the boxes are moving because there's people inside them. So the boxes are like flipping around, and then they all get out and they're in like Hawaiian shirts and hats.
Hawaiian shirts,
the symbol of this great Australian land.
Their lawnmowers and form the Olympic rings in
Hold on, I can't tell if you're joking.
No, I'm dead set serious. They mow the lawn
in the Olympic rings.
Yeah,
and this is the best ever opening ceremony.
Yes,
they're awful. As a like,
it sounds terrible.
Lawnmowers,
but it's an opening ceremony. They're all awful.
They are. That's the thing. They're bad.
Why are people lawnmowing?
They're Rocker Steadfords with a huge budget. That's
oh my god! Yes, that's the perfect way to put it. Because we're the only country in the world that has lawns, apparently.
So yeah, we are proud of the dumbest things.
Yeah, yeah. But that's also how we're choosing to represent ourselves.
Yeah.
Like lawnmowers.
I know, that's what I mean. It just seemed, because Matt made the joke about Victor Lawnmower, and then 2 seconds later you're like, and then they're mowing the lawn in the shape of the Olympic ring. I couldn't tell if you'd
it's
taken
serious,
a piss.
So they
no,
doing
which,
like
soon
these...
as she said the shed, I knew it was going to be Victor Lawnmower. The things that we always go on about, and these were probably all represented, Victor Lawnmower, the Hills Hoist, Lamingtons.
Vegemite?
Vegemite.
Mm-hmm.
Sheep's Back, and Ned Kelly. Yep. And I think you've already mentioned all of those apart from the Lamingtons.
I don't think they went down the food route of Lamingtons. And
everyone, look under your chair. There is a Lamington and a Vegemite.
You get a Lamington. Get a Lamington. Opens there. Now, this next segment, I first read it, I was like, I can't say this on the podcast because it sounds hella racist.
What are we up to? What
stage?
But it
ties together. Arrivals.
Okay.
Which isn't the Olympians arriving. This is like migration to Australia, right? So this is to embrace our multiculturalism.
Okay.
Right? So you might understand why this sounds
awful.
They
skipped over the genocide then. Is that fair to say?
Oh, yeah. Well, yep. We're only looking at the positives.
No time. We're on a time constraint.
It would have probably been a weird thing to celebrate.
So they basically had like each continent reflected in a float, so all these floats come out, and so it was to say like all these continents, all these places coming together in Australia. We're multicultural, right? So they chose different colours for
each
continent.
Okay.
So African continent came out first, and they were wearing black costumes.
Are they African people?
Yep.
Okay. Well, maybe they're genuinely African people.
Yeah, see, it's fine because it makes sense at the end, but the first couple don't sound great. Then the Asian immigrants represented...
By yellow?
Yellow.
Okay.
Yep,
so we're kind of going, ooh, what's going on here? But they were led by the Chinese lion dancers that were bright yellow
as
well.
Right, yeah.
Then Europe was introduced by the colour of green, and then red for people from the Americas. And then
Red Indians.
The Northern American. Do they just
says the Americas.
So they combine sort of two continents, I'm guessing. There, North and South.
Well, you know, because they only want to have five because it's the colours of the Olympic rings.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
spoiler,
exactly.
Pardon me.
Exactly. So originally I was like, what? And I was like, oh, okay.
Okay,
it's the Olympic
so
rings. That's fine.
Who's blue then?
Blue is the Pacific Islands.
Oh, Pacific Islands. Yeah. So they get their own.
And Australia.
New Zealand.
And
well,
Australia?
No, because we are Australia, so we're saying that like these are all the places coming
that came to Australia.
To Australia. This isn't even so much about the Olympic Games itself; it's sort of about Australia's culture.
So they see them as the big groups. So they did you say just China had its own one though?
Or
was
Asia.
That representative of all of Asia?
It was all of Asia, Asian immigration.
I just added in. You said Chinese dragons.
Yeah.
Or if I, yeah, that's cool.
And
that
then
sounds
they kind
right.
of all come together. The idea being that they're now creating like the Australian continent.
And did they make a map or something?
I think they might have. Yeah, I think they did. And there was like all these children dressed in the Olympic colours and they made the shape of Australia. While Nikki Webster performed the song Under Southern Skies.
By Lee Kernaghan.
I've had it stuck in my head for several days.
I don't think so.
What's Under Southern
Skies? I wouldn't be surprised if you wrote it though.
Yeah, something.
It was written by Slim Dusty.
Slim Dusty.
So do you find it funny that we, on things like that, we're so proud of our migration and our multiculturalism, but just day to day, and people like everyone will be watching it. The people who watch and enjoy those things are like, yeah, that's right, Australia, we're proud of it.
We'll give everyone
a go. But
then
the next day, hey, fuck off, we're full.
Absolutely,
yeah,
I know.
The next day is like, fuck off, Garner. We're going to win the marathon.
Yeah.
Yeah, true. Yeah, yeah.
We'll beat you.
Yeah, that is weird. I used to really be like just like, yeah, come on, the Australian person in the thing for some reason. It's the weirdest thing that you'd, who, like, I don't know this guy. What do I care if he wins or not?
Yeah, I just want the best person to win, and they all tried their best. okay, so now Nikki Webster's made her return. She's sung Great Southern Sky, Under Southern Skies. Great song. Great song.
Is it great?
It is actually quite nice.
Does it mention the Southern Cross?
Under the Southern Skies. Yes, because, again, they use some kids to form a large representation of the Southern Cross, and they're holding lanterns. So, now, the next bit was my favourite bit, but in retrospect, it would have been so strange, not only to people from... not from Australia, but also Australians. So do you remember at all the part where Adam Garcia was tap dancing?
Oh, vaguely. Boot I remember Men? There was Bootman. I remember the
Bootman, the movie hadn't come out yet.
Oh.
So this is even out of context for Australian audiences.
It's like a weird promo.
Yeah, it was like a...
Did Bootman get a budget because people were impressed by this?
No, it was coming out... Well, it must have come out in the following months because they said it, Bootman, upcoming film in the commentary. And this was in September. So it must have come out...
Has, like, Film Australia just paid for a big ad or something?
Oh, yeah, here? I don't understand it happened.
Is Adam Garcia the one from that American movie about... bar where they
Coyote Ugly. Yes.
Is he that him?
Yes, yeah.
Oh, no. Yeah, and that was so. And he was also on Dirty Laundry this year.
He's done a few bits and pieces. He's been like judges on Dancing with the Stars and a few American shows and stuff like that. Like, he's had a pretty good dancing career.
And is Bootman his thing?
He was in the movie. He was the star of the film.
Right.
Right, so it starts with just him in the middle of a stadium, just tap dancing by himself. And then what happens is he rises up and there's like two tiers of dancers, all in like flannies and work boots, like Bootmen. But that wouldn't have made any sense to people because they hadn't seen Bootmen yet. So they're just like, why are these tradies dancing? But it was great. And then they even had people with like grinders.
I remember
to a rhythm,
sparks going
everywhere while they tap dance, and they're all wearing safety goggles, and then there's people tap dancing down the aisles as part of the audience.
It all sounds like it is beyond parody. You could not make fun of this.
It sounds a lot like that episode of The Simpsons with the gay steel mill.
Yeah.
Yes. Da-na-na.
But they're all dancing and there's like sparks
and stuff. We work hard, we play hard.
That's exactly what I'm imagining.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it was. So that was... That was a little bit strange.
I love like butch masculine sort of stereotypical things being portrayed by dance.
Yeah,
it's the best.
It's so great.
Billy Joel's film clip for Uptown Girl, they're all playing mechanics and then all of a sudden they're low clicking and
amazing,
strutting around. It's so good.
So like great.
In perfect choreography.
Yeah, yeah.
And these guys are in like the wife beater singlets and they've got flannies tied around their waist. So they're wearing flannies, shorts, like they're bearded big men and they're like tap dancing away.
So the Bogans at home are like, I just don't know how to feel about this.
I mean, it's bloody beautiful, but I don't understand.
Yeah, he looks fantastic.
Oh, the taps, they're bloody great.
Oh, the sparks from that saw, my God.
Very strange. And then it goes into the Sydney 2000 Olympic Band. Right, so it's a marching band.
Oh, I like a good marching band.
How many people do you reckon were in the marching band?
How many people?
How many members in the band?
Oh,
12,000.
2,000.
Whoa.
It required 6 conductors. 2,000 musicians.
That's so many.
There was 1,000 musicians just from Australia and 1,000 from other countries around the world.
That's cool.
So they brought in other people.
What a great symbol.
6 conductors. And all the band members wore dryer bones, like specific made dryer bones.
Fuck off.
I know.
Really?
Yeah, but they were like white with like blue and white striped sleeves. And then I looked into it. So they made, dryer bone made 2,000 coats for these people. All the 120 stockmen at the start were all wearing dryer bone. And every single medal, what are they called? The medal presenter during the entire games were wearing dryer bones. Can you imagine
how dry the stadium was?
So it was also summer. You don't need to be wearing a dryer bone.
So dryer bone has just picked up a sweet contract.
Yeah.
They've just made 3,000 of them. They're not cheap.
They're not cheap. But like, imagine the publicity for that. Like
long leather jackets. Well, that would have been around the time of The Matrix as well, right?
Which, oh, yeah, that's
similar,
right.
Similar fashion.
Neo.
Not so much, yeah, I don't know if they're quite as fashionable. Now, this is a little interesting fact. I was going to save this sort of to the end, but the
fun fact:
this marching band, this Olympic band, was the only live sound created that night. So every other song, Nikki Webster,
even the
miming.
What about the tap dancing?
The taps were pre-recorded.
Taps. Oh. How funny are taps that are pre-recorded?
What? So they're just jumping around?
They're not quite in time.
I think the first part where it's just Adam Garcia, so it's only him that you can see, I'm sure that was... Well, that must have been live, because how do you tap perfectly to...
Well, he's Adam Garcia.
Yeah, true. So maybe...
He's in Coyote Ugly.
I wouldn't put it past
him. Yeah. I wouldn't. He's bloody great.
He's bloody perfect. So I can't... I have no idea who that is,
everything
but
that's else,
okay.
Even the Sydney Orchestra, who performed all the music, were miming the whole time.
Oh, what's the point?
Isn't that ridiculous? Because it was to combat the... Because they were worried about wind.
It's very difficult to perform in an open stage. It's not built for sound.
Yeah, it's not built for that.
But the 2,000 band members are live.
They were live, which is pretty cool. So that's a little fun fact about that and about Dries.
Even the horse whispering was pre-recorded.
Yeah. Okay, Ammo, I believe in you. So now we get to the Parade of Nations, which is the longest and most boring part of any Olympics.
Imagine if you're like Australia or Azerbaijan or something that comes out first. You've
got
to wait.
Not when you're the host country, though.
Exactly. We came
That's
out
right.
last.
Come out last. But yeah. Does Greece always come out first? Is that correct?
Oh, yes.
That's interesting.
Greece comes out
first. It's an Olympic tradition because it was the birthplace of the Olympics.
So they've got to wait a long time.
Mm. Just hanging out.
But they are, they're all partying up on the inside. They always look like they're having fun.
Yeah, they're always dancing around and they've got cameras and on the phone.
You're hanging out with your mates, I guess.
Yeah, there's always footage of them on the phone. There was footage of Kieran Perkins on the phone.
And if you're if you're a swimmer, it sucks because your events are that week. But if you're a track athlete, you'd be doing drugs and drunk and whatever.
That's probably why they thought, because that's what my mum was saying. There was talk that they definitely wouldn't pick a swimmer to light the cauldron because too much pressure they'd be competing the next day. But Kathy Freeman only competed 10 days later.
Right.
Yep. So they're still oh, it might not, but it was her. Spoiler alert.
That 4-minute delay. God.
Yeah. So a few fun facts about that parade.
parade fun facts.
Good luck.
did not think I'd be hearing that phrase when we started this episode.
There was a record at the time, I think it's been beaten since, of 199 nations competing in the 2000 Olympics.
It's quite a lot.
Let's go through them.
The only missing IOC member being Afghanistan, which was suspended due to the Taliban's regime, which prohibited practicing any kind of sport.
Oh, makes sense.
Don't worry, guys.
So we banned them.
No, I think...
But they'd banned sport.
Suspended.
Oh, they suspended themselves.
Well, yeah, they didn't really want to... They were like, no sport.
Yeah, so they're saying no sport, and then the Olympics were like, we ban you anyway.
Yeah, exactly, pretty much.
We don't need you.
The most remarkable was North and South Korea entered as one team.
Oh, wow.
They came into the stadium as one team, but I think they still competed separately.
But they call themselves the People's Democratic Republic of Korea.
Yeah, they had this.
And then there's the Republic of Korea.
They had this special
and they won every event,
flag,
right?
just to walk in together.
But they had the same flag.
Yeah, they all came into the stadium as one team.
That's really sweet.
They designed a flag just for that unification.
That's really, really surprising.
Isn't that? I think it's kind of nice.
And that was under the old, what was his name? Kim Jong-il.
Kim Jong-il.
The illest. That's that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
He's the one who all their papers say they win every event back home, right?
Yeah, I think so. We're just dominating, you guys.
Wow, we are killing this Olympic thing.
And there was also four athletes from East Timor who marched into the parade. They were just because East Timor wasn't a country yet.
Oh, right. They were still in Australian territory or something.
I'm not sure what they were before that, but they were allowed. So they had no National Olympic Committee because they had no country. So they competed under the Olympic flag. They were just individuals, which is pretty cool. Mm. And then my favourite part. I think this is my favourite part. John Farnham, Olivia Newton-John.
Oh, together at last.
Dare to Dream. Song written specifically for the occasion. And again, this is where I started to get... Because I was watching clips because I was research, and also it's just super fun to watch. And their voices are too good. Like, I know.
Do you think that Farnsey and Olivia Newton-John,
John the Voice Farnham, his voice was too good? Jess, come on, please.
Come on, conspiracy.
Pre-recorded.
Oh. Pre-recorded.
Pre-recorded.
Look, I'd accept that from Olivia.
But obviously, they can both sing. We know that.
Oh no, absolutely. And you know they still sing well live, but it was kind of like
just too hard.
It just sounded too clear.
Yeah.
I was like, this is too perfect. And especially because, like, and especially while Nikki Webster's running around and singing, I was like, nobody can sing that well while moving and adrenaline, and you're 13 years old and you probably weigh about 20 kilos. There's no way you can.
This sounds like jealous Jess coming in.
It
again.
Is 100% jealous Jess.
But also, yeah, like, big space like that, speakers give you sound at different times and stuff, right?
And it's just perfect.
Yeah.
So they're miming it, which is very disappointing. But they're walking through the Olympians, and you can see, like, the Australians are all just like, ah! Because Farnsey's
John Farnham!
It was beautiful. It's a great song. Dare to Dream. It was lovely.
And people from Cambodia are like, who's that?
Who are these people? So now we're getting to the crux of it. We're nearly there. Like,
what would you define as the crux of the event?
Well, we've already talked about it, so we kind of ruined it. But like the lighting of the cauldron.
Like, all right. That's always a pretty big part of the ceremony.
It's a big part. And there's a couple of really nice things that sort of happened before that. So the Olympic flags is carried in by 8 former Australian Olympic champions.
Together or pass from
together.
One?
No, together. So they walk it in. Like, it's a gigantic flag. So they walk it in, 4 on each side.
And who we got?
We've got Bill Roycroft, who's an equestrian. Murray Rose, swimming. Leanne Tooth, field hockey. Gillian Rolton, equestrian. A few equestrians in here. Marjorie Jackson, athletics. Lorraine Crapp, amazing name, swimming.
I think of Quiche when I hear her name.
Every time.
Michael Wendon, swimming. And Nick Green, rowing.
I've never heard of any of those guys.
I've heard of Murray Rose.
Nick Green's from the Awesome Foursome.
Yeah,
okay,
Nick Green's
I've heard of the awesome
probably one of the youngest. I think he's only in his 40s now, so he was quite young.
He's about to win a gold medal in a week or two.
Ooh,
spoilers.
Okay, so they've got a giant flag between them.
Yeah, so all these former Olympic champions bring that in, and then Tina Arena comes out.
Oh.
Tina Arena, she sings The Flame. Beautiful. Again,
I'm in flame. Yeah.
Is the song written for the ceremony?
Yep, written specifically for the ceremony. And she performs it with the Sydney Children's Choir as well.
But they're all miming.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, they
are. Fair call.
And Herb Elliott brings he's
runner.
He's done the last, yeah, he was at athletics. He's done the last leg and he brings
the torch
into the stadium.
Is he going to go the whole way? And Bruce is probably saying, maybe it's Herb. Herb
the
guy?
Maybe Herb will do it.
Yeah. Bruce definitely knows.
Yeah.
He's been told.
Oh, he knows. Something kind of cool is that the Sydney 2000 Olympics was the 100th year of women participating in the Olympic Games.
Bloody good.
Which is kind of cool. So
about time too.
about time to have 100 years.
In honor of that.
So they just missed out on the first one. Women, 1896, obviously, is the first ever Olympics. So London, 1900.
First of the modern Olympics, yeah.
That's right.
Oh.
1900 is the
second. That's not that impressive then, is it? Like, if it had been going for 100 years and then...
It's only the second ever Olympics.
God, women. Bloody sooks. You missed out on one.
Come on.
Calm down. Somebody had to stay home and look after the kids.
The year before, did they do 100 years of men in the Olympics? I mean, come on. If we want equality.
Well, they had... Well, Muhammad Ali lit the torch at Atlanta, so...
Which is a nice touch, I thought.
Because he is...
For men.
A man. Doing it for the men out there.
It is about time men got their recognition
sport.
I could not agree more.
I'd like to dedicate this torch to all male athletes,
all men,
old and young, around the world.
Okay, well, I thought this was a really nice moment until I realised that that's the case.
And it's
still fine. Better. So they honoured that by, there was former Australian women, Olympic champions, did the last sort of leg of the torch race. What am I saying?
I do remember vaguely. So
one of the most boring races of all time. There's only one team competing.
And they take their time. No, but this is like...
And they're all 65 plus.
Yeah, but I remember watching this and it's kind of like, wow, it was really moving and you didn't know who was going to be next. So you can hear the crowd just going absolutely batshit crazy when they find out who they're passing it on to. It was really amazing. So first up, you've got Betty Cuthbert.
I remember Betty Cuthbert.
Betty.
Four Olympic Betty's gold medals.
Yeah, she's amazing.
I'm just doing Olympics as well. You look at their Commonwealth Games and World Championships. These people are freaks. But four Olympic gold medals for Betty. Now, she's she had MS, so she's pushed in a wheelchair by Raylene Boyle. Three silver Olympic medals for athletics as well. Then they pass it on to Dawn Fraser.
Heard of her.
Four gold and four silver for her swimming and a bunch of world records and Commonwealth Games. Who then passes it on to Shirley Strickland, who has three gold, one silver and three bronze.
How good are these names? Shirley.
Shirley Strickland Ballroom. Great.
Fun one for Shirley. She won more Olympic medals than any other Australian in running sports.
So how many? What did
she
win?
Three gold, one silver, more medals, not just gold. So three gold, one silver, three bronze.
Yeah, because we are not good runners traditionally.
No, because the Kenyans keep beating us.
Bloody Kenyans.
They're bloody fast. Mm. Now, Shirley hands it over to Shane
Gould.
The Americans
Gould. Go okay as well, I think.
Three gold, a silver and a bronze, all at the 1972 Olympics. She did one Olympics, retired at 17 years old.
So three
gold, a silver and a bronze. She five killed medals it. In her first Olympics and she's like, I'm out. And then she retired because of the pressure and then came back in like master's levels and just beat a whole bunch of world records again. What a freak.
What a master.
What an absolute freak. Who then, she hands it over to Debbie Flintoff-King.
Debbie.
One gold for athletics.
Fun fact, I sold the heating and cooling system to Debbie Flintoff-King's new house.
Oh.
Is this true?
What
kind of premises is Debbie Flintoff-King dwelling
well,
in?
Well, I'm not going to. I think that's in confidence.
Confidentiality. Clientele.
I'll tell you off air.
I was going to say, tell us after the podcast. Now, so Debbie's running through the middle of the Olympians.
Does she look like she's sweaty?
Does that sound funny out of context? It's like all of a sudden I'm selling air conditioners, but...
That's what you used to do.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It's not that funny. Hey, sorry. Hey, it's nice that we're celebrating women and I've just spent the whole episode talking
shitting
over
all
you.
Over. Yeah, but you're fine.
Even before you said, actually, that's not that impressive, that whole thing about women. I said, no, it is.
Shush.
Your opinion does not matter.
Yeah. Your opinion is not correct. Yeah. Adorable. Nice try.
Well, this show is celebrating nine episodes now of Matt talking over Jess. So.
That's beautiful.
Oh, boy.
What I think, the whole time, and Dawn Fraser was also, this is just a weird little fact that I've just remembered. She was like up in the officials booth, like where all like the royalty and everyone is, because she was sitting with, I don't remember his name, but it's a very long, complicated name. He's like one of the head honchos in the, I should have written this down, but now I'm just telling you off the top of my head, of the Olympic Committee, and his wife couldn't be there because she was really sick. She ended up dying the next day.
Oh dear.
Yeah, she had cancer. So she was really sick. So he invited Dawn to come and be his guest. So you can see her in like some of the footage, like explaining things to him. She's like chatting.
Wait, is he from overseas?
Yeah. So he, so then she just excuses herself, goes and gets changed into her Olympic track.
He's like,
a telephone booth or something.
Yeah.
And he looks down, he's like, is that my date?
Yeah.
What the hell?
She said she was getting a beer.
Oh, God. I have to get my own beer now.
Yeah.
Hey, Dawn, what's happening now?
Yeah.
I'm just passing.
I'll just be one sec. Yeah.
It's 100 years of women.
Okay, so what we're doing is...
the Dawn Whisperer.
So, and you can see, like, every time they pass it on, because it's just a spotlight on that on those people running along, and then they pass it on to the next one, and the whole crowd just goes nuts. So Debbie Flintoff-King is running through, it's like Moses parting the Red Sea. She's running down this, like, fairly narrow path between all the Olympians, and she gets, like, halfway, and I think they announced it too early, because he went... Kathy Freeman, and she still had quite a way to run. Uh-huh. And so she finally gets it, but the crowd's already like losing their mind. But it was still like maybe a minute or so before she got to it.
Really? And then Kathy Freeman's there. And is she wearing the, in my mind, she's wearing that suit that she won the gold medal in.
It was a similar kind of suit. It didn't have the hood.
No hood,
but it was like a silver suit because she had to run, she ran up the stairs and then into like, she ran up a whole big flight of stairs past the orchestra.
Did she do it quickly?
not bad. Good pace.
Record time.
I mean, it's stairs and she's a 400-meter runner. You know, it's different. It's different, you know. And she gets to the top and then she walks out into like this, like a pool of water, and then she lights the cauldron and it rises up above her. Like, so she's in the middle of these flames as it goes up. It's so cool. I was also a very big Kathy Freeman fan.
So, and at what point does the malfunction occur?
It rises up I think it rises up quite a bit and then it doesn't quite go all the way. Like, it stops. So
do they just wait the 4 minutes before moving on to something?
Yeah,
and what's Kathy doing at this time?
She's just standing there.
Is she looking pretty cool and calm?
Yeah, I think so. She's probably just looking around a little bit like, oh boy, like what's going on here? But she just plays it cool. I'm sure they're talking in her little earpiece like, okay, Kathy.
It genuinely would be someone whispering in her ear.
All right, Kathy. Just having a bit of a technical glitch here, but don't you worry. You look great.
and then they're just like sort of talking in the earpiece to the conductor of the orchestra. They're like, quick, make 4 minutes of music. They're like, our instruments aren't plugged in. What are you talking about?
Oh, no.
We're miming.
So that sort of brings us to the end of the ceremony.
So the cauldron's up now after 4 minutes. And then everyone sort of goes crazy. And that's how it ends?
Yeah. And then it's just a whole bunch of fireworks, and then away we go. I do have as you know, I always like to finish with a few fun facts.
Fun facts.
So that's how we're going to finish off. You know how there's always French and English, mesdames et messieurs.
Yeah. So the two official languages.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen.
Is and French for and?
What?
Is and French for and?
No, isn't it like? Well, I don't know.
Oh no, I just thought.
I think I said and.
Yeah.
Dames et messieurs.
Yeah, like I would have believed that. But okay. It wasn't important. I just thought, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know what. Anyway.
I don't know who the.
Fun facts.
I don't know who the French woman is, but the English language announcer for the opening ceremony was Australian actor John Stanton. Now, when I was watching, I was like, where do I know his voice from? And then I looked it up. He also voices the 40 Winks ads.
Oh, class. 40 so Winks, 40 Hour Sale.
If you watch.
40 Winks, 40 Hour Sale.
He doesn't sing Winks, the jingles. If you go back and watch any clip now, you'll know the
voice. If I was going to pick any betting advertising person, it would definitely be.
Right? 40 Winks.
It would definitely be.
For me, it would have definitely been Rod Quantock.
Rod Quantock, sure. Captain Snooze, for me too.
Great point. But maybe he wasn't available. So as I said before, Andrew Gaze brought the flag in for the opening ceremony. For the closing ceremony, it was I don't think it's decided sort of through the games. It's not decided before, so that it was given to one of the team's youngest members and most celebrated, 17-year-old
Thorpe.
Ian Thorpe.
Yes, got to be Thorpe.
He was one of the true stars of the game. He won 5 medals, 3 gold and 2 silver. 17 years old.
Pretty good, not as good as...
I didn't realise 17, that's nuts.
Old mate Shane Gould, but pretty good.
Shane Gould killed it.
Yeah, I didn't know. Thorpe was only 17, wow.
Australia won 58 medals.
If that's a record, isn't it? Is it the most gold ever? Was the Sydney Olympics for us?
For us, I'm not sure, actually.
I believe.
Yeah, it was for. I think for us at the time it was a record.
Like we were top three or something.
Isn't that often the way in the host country? Like we often do well, like just because of the...
It's home.
I think we came fourth on the medal count, maybe.
We did, so we got 16 gold, 25 silver, 17 bronze, finished fourth behind US, Russia and China.
And I think more, like last time, I think we were finished somewhere in the top 20. I think that was like, we've never finished that high.
Yeah, it was crazy.
It was amazing. And we also just sort of strangely...
I'm saying we.
Yeah, but it is we.
Bloody good effort, Matt. When you're at that party at 16 and missing this opening ceremony...
Yeah, good job.
Knew you were training hard.
Yeah.
We had representatives in every sport as well, which was pretty rare. I don't know if we've done that since. And finally...
What do you reckon is the easiest sport to get into? If I trained every day...
It's just the sports that no one else does, right?
Shooting?
But we're really good at that, so
but it doesn't require a lot of like physical training or skill. And like you couldn't take up.
I think there's a lot of skill.
Skill, but I mean, like you don't. If you try to take up gymnastics now, you're fucked.
Yeah, couldn't do gymnastics.
Shooting's definitely easier than gymnastics to choose to do in your mid-20s.
Exactly. or taking up a whole sport.
Like if you're talking about you as a 25-year-old, shooting would have to be up there. Maybe horse riding is an old person.
And I'm also scared of horses.
Okay, so not that's horse riding.
What about guns? Shooting. How do you feel about guns?
Oh, you couldn't
never
do
shot
archery.
A gun, but I've never shot a horse. So
couldn't do archery because I just don't trust your little arms to be able to pull back.
Piss off, those small Korean women do really, really well. I've seen them in the final.
What about badminton?
Yeah, no.
No, they're
still,
freaks at that. They're doing
agile.
That since they were three.
Who plays it? Like, this is the thing. Like, to reach the top of a sport, that I don't know anyone else who plays it.
Yeah, but then is there any? Exciting to be a medalist in it?
No, I don't think so. I don't think we're talking about medalists. Actually, that's fair enough because I'll never beat like a Chinese person that's played. I'll just pick that nation out of thin air that's played badminton since they were three.
Yeah,
but I could. I've got more chance to be the best in Australia just to get to the Olympics with no hope.
Yeah,
because
I'm
not going to win a medal in anything because you have to be amazing.
You have to work most of your life.
Yeah. And I don't want to take it away from the Australian badminton team. Sorry, everyone. It's probably
No, I do. They've had it too good for too long.
Get out of here.
Take them down.
final fun fact. How many people would you say watched the Australian Open, the opening ceremony?
Yeah, it's a little off topic, but just curious, what do you think?
The opening around the world on television. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm thinking that...
12,000.
I'm thinking that because it can't be the most watched one because most of the world it's in the middle of the night this time. So, like, say the Atlanta Games, you can get all of... American can watch it. All the Beijing games, it's like all of China is watching it.
Mm-hmm. In Australia, it would have been...
Most households?
Like, yeah, probably not like three or four household. Millions.
I reckon
three or 4 millions.
I reckon it could be like that's six or 7 million in Australia.
Wowee.
It's massive, man. It was huge.
But that would be higher than anything ever, right? The Block isn't even that high.
Yeah, this is...
But this isn't The Block.
The Block Elimination Special doesn't even get those kind of numbers.
Sorry, Matt, sorry.
This is the opening ceremony. This is huge. We had, like, the whole family sat around. We had little Australian flags. We were, like,
that's
really
so
into it.
That's so cute.
Mum put, like... Because I was 10, so Mum put, like, little flags on toothpicks and put them in our sausage rolls. We had, like, Australian-themed food.
Oh, I would have loved a sausage roll, but I was vomiting all bloody night. Okay, I'm going to say...
This is around the world.
Around the world, 150 million.
3.6 billion.
Are you kidding?
No.
Wait, that's 50%. Is that everybody?
No, that's 50% of the whole world.
3.6 billion viewers.
Well, that's not real.
Is that the most watched one? No, surely Beijing's more.
Possibly, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I guess. So you're telling me that 3.6 billion people tuned in to watch us make the Olympic rings with lawnmowers?
You're welcome, world.
Best ever. Right, like, best ever.
It feels like the kind of thing that, like, eventually people are going to go, wait, hang on. I've been excited about one of these before. Never again.
Never.
I don't, because it is kind of wanky, but I still love to watch it.
Yeah, that is, well.
That is the Sydney 2000
the best
Olympic
ever,
opening ceremony.
Best ever
opening ceremony, and probably the best ever podcast dedicated to it.
I reckon it could be up there. Top five.
Was that too specific?
No, I like it. I enjoy it.
I think too specific would have been...
the first five
Nikki,
minutes.
What was her name?
Nikki Webster.
Nikki Webster's sundress.
Yeah, okay, that's too specific.
No, I enjoyed that a lot. Thank you, Jess.
Pleasure. Thank you for having me on this podcast.
On my show.
That I'm always on, yes.
You're always on. Well, if you want to get in contact with Jess, if you want to heckle her, or perhaps you are that man that was with Dawn Fraser that night, you want to email your new name, you can contact us online at dogoonpod, or one word, at gmail.com. If you want to suggest a topic, or we're on Twitter now at DoGoOnPod.
Yeah, DoGoonPod.
DoGoonPod. If you had a good time, rate us on iTunes if that's your thing. Tell someone about it. That would be the best ever. We're going to be back next week. I'm going to be doing a report. My God, I've got to think of something now. The life and times of Dawn Fraser. Dawn Fraser. But until next time, we shall see you then. Thank you for joining us.
Later.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.